Wednesday, June 25th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we are finishing part two of yesterday's message titled Faith That Pleases Christ, which will complete our studies in the book of Matthew, as tomorrow we'll be starting our new series in the book of Romans.
Every circumstance, every new sorrow, every new challenge, every new affliction, every new difficulty, everything it is in this life, whatever it is, it requires us to trust Him, to lean on Him, and to rest upon Him in faith for every circumstance and His mercy, brand new. It is to live by faith. Talking about a whole life that lives by faith, that lives by faith, that trusts Him by faith.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
I will not go with them any longer. Jesus seems to be saying the same thing. I'm done. How long am I going to bear with this faithless scene in Israel? And I think we are pressed to ask the question, what went wrong here? You'll notice the father essentially says, I would have brought him to you, but you weren't here. So I took him to your disciples, and they could not cast him out. They couldn't do it. And I think the logical question is, why? Why couldn't they? Why couldn't they cast it out if they had been? I want you to listen to what Mark records of the father. As the father says that this demon had cast him into the fire, into the water to destroy him. And then it comes, this is what the father said in Mark. And I think it helps fill out why Jesus is responding to the faithlessness of the scene. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus says, if you can. Did you just say if you can? If you can, that's probably how it went. If you can. Now, in this moment, he does show compassion. Jesus says, bring the boy here to me. And in a moment, in front of everyone, he rebukes the demon, and it comes out of the boy, and immediately he's healed. But Jesus is not done with the moment. A faithless generation. He was also thinking of his disciples here because they become the center of this in his instruction. The problem wasn't just with the man, it was also with the disciples. They come to him and they are totally baffled. The disciples do at this point. The scene seems to have calmed down. Obviously, the healing took place. They come to him and they say, why couldn't we cast him out? Why did we not have the power to do it? And Jesus says so plainly here, it was because of your little faith. Mark gives us a little bit fuller explanation of that when Mark says that that lack of faith was shown by the fact that Jesus said nothing like this can come out except by prayer. And essentially what Jesus was simply saying is you didn't even pray. You didn't even pray. And Jesus gets to the heart of why. So I think this is so crucial for this morning, coming to the table and thinking about the whole of the Christian life. You tried to do this without me. You tried to do this without me. But he wasn't there. Now, do you see the dilemma? Jesus says something so important that what he's pressing them with and what he's pressing us with is that someone who believes in me and somebody who claims belief in me is called to trust me. And that means there will be no limit put on what I can do. But I think we see at this point, why it's so similar to the golden calf event. A man, remember, in Matthew, there was another highlighted event of faith that is the very opposite of this event. That's why I said it's good to see the good and the bad. There was the most shining event in Matthew's gospel early on in his ministry that Jesus, here he seems worked up, that Jesus seems worked up in commendation. This is a very important section. Remember the centurion, Lord, I have a servant lying paralyzed at home. He is suffering terribly. Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. The centurion replies, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just say the word. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard that, he marveled. Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. This man believed he had authority over all sickness and death, and he comes to him believing that, and I don't even need you there to come do it. You just say the word. Wow. That's what I'm after. Right there. That's what I'm after. Well, what an opposite scene here. Jesus is the object of nobody's faith. They took life, they took matters, even the ability to heal completely in their own hands. There was no prayer, there was no fasting, there was no faith. The whole thing was absent of him. And now I think you see the importance of this. He wasn't there. He was on the mountain up in glory. And the whole point is just what happened with that centurion. They have no authority. They have no power apart from him. And there it is. The problem was a lack of faith. That means they were attempting to give life-giving power in their own power. It was a faithless endeavor, just like the golden calf. Even the father, all he cared about was to have his son healed. It didn't matter who did it. You see? Well, what a scene when we think about faith. Jesus was teaching us a vital truth in Matthew in this particular section, that in my absence, you all still very much need me. It's my authority upon which help comes. There is no other power. There is no other way. This is the good news of it, just as available to you as when I am standing in front of you. And the way that's going to be expressed in life is through prayer. He was teaching them that day, and I think he's teaching us, that we can do nothing on our own. Nothing in life. We have no strength in any kind of spiritual progress, or even in the difficulties, every circumstance, every new sorrow, every new challenge, every new affliction, every new difficulty, everything it is in this life, whatever it is, it requires us to trust him, to lean on him, and to rest upon him in faith for every circumstance and his mercy, brand new. Brand new. It is to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You understand that we are justified by faith, but that verse in Habakkuk is also talking about a whole life that lives by faith, that lives by faith, that trusts him by faith, because it's the last thing we do. The disciples misunderstood the mission. Here was a man that should have been called to faith before the healing of the son. And here were the disciples who should have prayed in faith. Now, how are we to understand the charge of having a lack of faith? I don't think most of us argue with that. You know, I thought, was this just presumption? You know, is this just presumption? Did they just think it's automatic? And did you come to church today thinking, you know what, I expect Pastor Gordon to give me a good sermon. I expect to get the supper. I expect this and I expect that. I don't think so. I don't think there's many like that here. Maybe you're doing that. Well, I want to talk to you afterward if you're doing that. I think most of us struggle with the opposite problem. We know we don't have enough faith. Therefore, we think a lot like these people, and we live hopelessly. Am I wrong? Jesus challenges the disciples and he challenges us. Do you know what the man said in Mark when Jesus said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I bear with you?" As soon as he hears that, the man, this is the only prayer in the whole narrative as we have recorded in Scripture in this section. "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." I think that's our experience. That is exactly what we feel. This is exactly what troubles us about the Christian life. And our lack of prayer proves it, and all the difficulties of life. Doesn't this struggle of life really evidence in us that we have little faith? Don't we all confess today that we have little trust in Christ? You know it. I know it. I remember ministering to a man on his deathbed, and he said to me, "I don't think I have enough faith to get through this." I said to him, "Dad, do you think you're going to die in your own strength? Who has enough faith?" And Jesus gives us surprising help. Verse 20, "For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Now, if I don't qualify that today, I'm going to make Jesus sound like a raving Pentecostal, aren't I? Think about it. We always have to qualify these things away because of all the abuses of them in history. Did Jesus want us to do that? Well, he doesn't really mean that. Well, yes, it's hyperbole. It's definitely hyperbole. But you don't think that is intended for a great effect upon you? You don't think he said that so that you would actually say, "Oh, well, you know, that's not really possible"? Did you hear what he said? He is saying something very important. What is lacking in your life is trust. That's why you're worried about everything. What is lacking is a reliance upon me, showcased by the absence of prayer. When Jesus says faith like a mustard seed, I don't think he's measuring out our faith in terms of the quantity. Oh, that person has a little bit more over here, and this person has a little bit more over here. I don't think that's what he's doing at all. He's speaking about a quality of faith that seems little to us, That doesn't seem to amount much to us. A glimmer of trust in him, says Jesus. A sparkle. One that truly believes in him and trusts in him. Jesus is saying something very encouraging today. That person receives great power and great help. When we are helpless, or some hardship has overtaken us, we do not live as pagans, worrying and doing everything in our power to stop it, or living a faithless life, or giving up on Christ and giving up on his church. No. That's not it. As Calvin said, believing that God will never forsake us. If we keep the door open for receiving his grace, end of quote. Faith, like a mustard seed, does not try to take the burdens on ourselves. It does not give up on him. It continues to trust, even in absence, his promises that God will, in his timing and in his right way, deliver and help his people. Always. He always has. He always has. He's never failed to do it. It is believing against all odds that Christ loves you, that he is powerful to deliver you, that he has everything at his disposal to do it, to help and to save, that he will not fail to do what he has promised, and that when there is faith, nothing he has for us will be impossible, for it's his power and the strength, his strength that rests upon us in our lives and all things. To them it was this answer. If you had looked to me, had you trusted in me, had you believed in my power, had you prayed and looked to me, you would have received the ability to heal this man. But you didn't. You see, today we come to the table of our Lord. What do you need? What do I need? Far more than what that man asked for that day. You need mercy. You need forgiveness. You need grace for you and your children. You need salvation. You need help. You need steadfast love. You need assurance. You can't achieve any of it apart from him. None of it. Do you know that? You see, Jesus came to die and to rise again. What is on his heart? Did you see the next verses? The Son of Man is about to be delivered in the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day, and they were greatly distressed. This, today, we celebrate. Because this was the very path of our deliverance for us. And that he would apply all this to us and give all this benefit to us and all this blessing today by faith. By faith alone. You must receive it by faith. You must believe him and receive him by faith and all that's being said to you. What more shall I say? For if time would fail me, I would tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. You must be and must receive all of this by the same faith that they had. That we don't give up in despair, but that we will look to him, we will trust him, we will rest on his word in his absence, we will not doubt him, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and he says to me today, whosoever believes, do you believe? Whosoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe this? Do you believe these things? Do you believe when Jesus said with Lazarus to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, they shall live. And then he looked at the crowd and said, do you believe this? Faith is what he was after. And that's what he calls us to today as we come to the table of his Son, our Father, to feed our souls of the body and blood of Christ. He is calling you to faith, a gift of his grace in your life, to trust him. So on his holy mountain today, what does he see of us? He's coming again. He is calling us today to faith. Lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Believe me. What is it? What is it that's challenging that? What is it that's pulling you away from that? He wants you to know today in closing that when you come believing, he is willing to help you. He is ready to help you. You should cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. This scene would have been turned into a glorious scene simply if there had been faith. May there be faith in us today as we come. And he calls you to come. Come in faith and receive the body and blood of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious text today. Feed our souls with the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, O Lord. Give us faith, for we are weak. Help, O Lord, our unbelief. We do believe. Give us faith as of a mustard seed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, that's all the time that Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us next time as we start a series in the book of Romans. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.